Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
This is exactly what I want to speak to you about this morning. It's getting back on track. Getting back to where we were before this whole storm came to hit our lives. Could you close your eyes for a moment, just kind of go back 12 months, 13 months, or however long it's been, and find yourself where you were. And where you were especially, and I'll be focused this morning, where you were in your relationship with God and the relationship with the church, in relationship with godly things in your life, where were you just a year ago? Again, I say people have changed because in our church, I still haven't seen a lot of people that were here before all of this began. Now, everybody has their own personal concerns, and I'm not criticizing that. You're going to do whatever you feel is safe for you. But I would speak to those who will not come out of fear. Those that have somehow allowed complacency to take place. How many know it's easy to stay home on Sunday morning? Am I going to be the only honest one here? It was easy for me to stay home today. Real easy. You don't even have to try to push me. You want to stay home? Yep. But you're the pastor. But it's easy to stay home, and certainly easy to get accustomed and not go to church. And that means to me that things change. Things change. Our attitudes changed. Our thoughts change. The way we used to things changed. To used to do things changed. But I said, this thing is passing by, and I'm hoping that it does get past and behind us soon. But I'm wondering what's going to happen with those of us who have changed. Are we ever going to come back to get it in gear again? I wonder if we're ever going to become the people we were in the Lord before this crisis began. This morning, I've chosen to speak out of the book of Acts chapter 2. And I simply titled this message, Getting Back to Where We Were, or Getting Back on Track. And I want to use the perfect model of where we used to be potentially and where we certainly should be today, or at least fight to get back. And that is to look at the framework of the original church. And you'll find her story, you'll find characteristics about her in the book of Acts chapter 2. And I'll give you that passage in just a second. But we want to look at the original church and look at our lives to see if we've lost anything of the things that they obtained in their lives. If we've changed in character. Things that we used to do, but we do no longer now. We've kind of thrown those things aside, and we've caused this whole thing to change who we are. Let's surrender to that test a little bit this morning before I take too much time. Because unless we look at that scripture, unless we look at the original church, we'll really never know how to be the church that God desires. And I believe that all of us want to be the church that God desires. I know that I do. So what was it that they were, how was it that they conducted their lives? And what was it about them that we can see that possibly has changed today in the lives of many Christians? What made the church different then? And what will make the church different today? A good characteristic that will identify a church that is designed to live for God. The first thing is devotion. Everyone say devotion. The original church in the book of Acts were devoted. Acts chapter 2 verse 42, if you will. This is the testimony of the church. This is someone looking at the church and seeing these characteristics about them that were identifiable not only amongst them, but they were identifiable in the city in which they lived. When people saw these people, they knew that these people belong to the church of Christ. Acts 2 and 42 says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The first thing is that they were a devoted people. You know, a lot of people have lost their devotion today. They may have been devoted before. But because this thing has taught us now to stay home within the four walls of our home and only look out of a window, and now we are only to travel to the essential places that we're supposed to go to. If you need food, then you go quickly and come back. If you need gas, go get it and come back. And you're looking out the window because you're told that you're not supposed to be out in the street because it only has to be essential. And somehow along, and you'll agree with me that sometimes, somewhere along the road, as we spoke about those things that are essential, the church wasn't included. The church wasn't included as an essential. In fact, there was a political fight about that. Amen? There was a political fight whether the church, a house of worship, was an essential place for people to come. We were forced to close down for a few months. When all of this began, we couldn't get 10 people in the house, or else we'd be fined or arrested or whatever it was. And we had all the political people that are running our cities tell us, stop it. And so as obedient people, we needed to do that. But that changed, that caused a lot of change in the lives of people. You see, not only did we close the doors and we lost the grip of worship together and all these things, but people lost their sense of devotion. They lost their sense of dedication. The church back then was loyal and dedicated. They were sold out, as we use that term. They were determined to live their lives for God. That's what made the early church stand out from its culture and the rest of the surrounding religions and groups that were around. She was a devoted body of people. The Bible says that they met in the upper room. They devoted themselves to come out to the upper room and wait patiently and devote themselves to prayer and all these things until they saw God move in their lives. But it wasn't a difficult thing to bring them in. They came in. Only the people that were truly devoted took time to go up into this upper place. They went into an awesome prayer service that changed their lives completely. It changed their destiny completely. It changed their sense of devotion completely. They fell in love with that moment. And I'm wondering today, in our surrounding and people all over our cities, if you will, that used to be devoted to come to church, and now somehow we have become trained to stay home and value things in certain levels. And now somehow the church and our devotion to coming to worship is not as important as it is going to HEB to buy some fruit or vegetables. Devotion. The people that comprised the church back then, they knew that they were devoted people. Devotion means commitment. Now, mind you, you would say, well, what else did those people do? No wonder they devoted themselves to go to church because, you know, I mean, Jerusalem back then, what can we say? These people were just like you and I. All these people had jobs. They had families. They had children. They had a Liam and they had a Logan to chase around. They did. But still, they took time to evaluate their lives and find out what was essential. These people were ordinary people just like you and I, with jobs, families, businesses, friends, relationships, all living life in the city. These were not idle people that say, well, I'm so bored, what do we do? Well, let's all go find an upper room just to hang out. No. No, they had things to do. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he found two guys working. They were people. They were working. And when the Lord said, come and follow me, they dropped their nets. And they followed him. They devoted their lives unto the Lord. So all these people were like many of us in this place, all busy people. But when they met with God and they were touched by the Lord and the Spirit of God, you see, their devotions to things began to change and shift in their lives. And I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything I can kind of just encourage you to, is to examine your life and ask yourself, am I as devoted as I used to be? What happened? Am I as focused on God as I used to be? Is it like pulling teeth for me to go to church? I used to be dressed early, an hour before, and I'd run to church and come and worship because I was devoted. But now this whole thing changed to who I am. You know, and it's a horrible thing really to look at each other, each of us inside, introspection, if you will, and judge ourselves and find out if we're devoted or not. We normally like to say we are a devoted people and say it of ourselves. But if we look at our actions and our daily responsibilities and the things that we did during the day and the things you prioritize in, find out today, if you will, check yourself. Are you devoted to God? Are you devoted to the Lord? You see, we can come together on occasion. I remember, I'll never forget this, it was years ago that I was walking off the pulpit and I was walking down the corridor towards my office and I met a brother up there. And this is funny, I don't mean that to criticize, but telling you this testimony to criticize. But it was just a funny thing and the Lord just kind of stepped in a silly way, but it was funny, but it proved the point. And I was walking down and he looks at me, he goes, "Hey, pastor, ago, hermano. Dios le bendiga. Hey, how are you, man? I'm doing good. Yeah. How are you, Lee? I'm doing great. Awesome." He goes, "Man, I hadn't seen you." I said, "Really?" "Yeah. Every time I've come, you know, I hardly see you." He goes, I said, "That's because you only come in Christmas and in Easter." And he goes, "Yeah, you're right." Is that devotion? Sometimes we become seasonal Christians. Only when something special is happening, only when, maybe even when things are tough, we come to church. You see, God is looking for a devoted heart. Can you say amen? God is looking for, you see, and in any relationship, yeah, give the Lord praise if you're going to give Him praise. But let me just say, we must be a devoted church. This is what the psalmist said. "Guard my life, Lord." This is a petition. "Guard my life." And here is his token of pass, if you will, or his qualifying pass. He said, "For I am devoted to you. Watch me, Lord. Take care of me, Father. You know I'm committed to you. Watch me, Father, heal my body because I know, you know, that I'm devoted to you." This was certainly true of early Christians. And ladies and gentlemen, today I pray that before Jesus comes, all of us would look inside our hearts and say and ask ourselves, are we devoted as we were, or has COVID changed us? Have we allowed this whole thing to change our devotion to God? And now we don't have time. We've learned to shift the essentials way up here, and we kept the essential relationship with God down here. Some of us even get used to saying, "Well, no, there's too much COVID still out there." And then you're at the mall. I better stop. But you know it's true. No. I can't go to church amongst people. You are at the pulga. There's only 7,000 people there in a little square block. But you see, we allow ourselves to be conditioned and undevoted to God. And that's the enemy's way of disconnecting you in your relationship with God. That'll keep you away from saying, "God, guide me, guard me." And you can't finish what the psalmist said because, just guide me and guard me. And that's all you can say. But the psalmist could say, "Guard me, Lord, because I'm devoted to you." And I pray all of us with great confidence when we pray, we say, Lord, look over my babies. Look over my marriage. Look over my relationship. Look over my life. Look over my job. Look over my finances. Look over my health. Why, Lord? Because I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. These people were devoted to truth. They were devoted to truth. You know what that means? It means that their ears were closed to hear all the junk that was going on. You know, there's a lot of junk going on in our world today. Amen? There's a lot of junk that is going on today. So many things being said about God. So many things being said about this book. So many things said about the church. So many things said about salvation, who is and who is not. So many things said, who is the body of Christ? So many things said, what is a true religion? So many things said about the Holy Spirit. So many things said, and a lot of it is junk. Yeah, I can say that because I know what it says. You see, what made the church, the early church, completely different was that they were devoted to one thing, and that was truth. That means that they kept God's word deep in their hearts. Some of us are so discouraged today because of things that we believe are true because we heard somebody say that. And you have not taken time to open the book and find out for yourself if Jesus really said that, or is Jesus really gonna do that or allow that. You see, the greatest tool that the enemy has, listen to me carefully, and I pray that you really, truly put this in your heart, that the greatest tool, the greatest weapon that the enemy has against us is our ignorance. Yes? Is our ignorance. You've got people quoting things that they say are in the Bible that aren't even in the Bible. And it didn't start here at Rock of Ages. I promise you, it started years ago before us. Just saying things that aren't even in the Bible. But they've taken it to become doctrine. And now because you heard it, can't prove it, but you heard it. You heard some radio personality say it because a compadre said it, because someone, I don't care, your mom, whoever, dad, cousin, whoever said this. You've never taken time to open the book and say, no, it doesn't. That's not what it says. Or, yes, that's what it says. I've challenged every one of us here. Every time we come together, as I preach to you and give you scripture, open your Bible. Read it. If it's there, receive it. If it's not, let it out. My prayer every morning when I come up here to stand, I say, Lord, whatever I speak from your mouth, let it come into fertile hearts. But whatever I say out of my own philosophical views or whatever, let it fall on dry ground. I talk nothing but junk, but your word is life. Let us be desiring and devoted to truth. When was the last time you saw your Bible at home? Maybe I should ask you, do you even have a Bible at home? You know, today, you know, we have big screens on these. Oh, wow, I hadn't seen that. Can you see? But you remember all these things came out, all these big screens came out? I think we were probably the last church that ever put up a big screen. And some of the people criticized me. Oh, a lot of people have big screens, Pastor, and they have all that. And I know. And we should buy one. And it wasn't because we couldn't. I just never wanted to because of one thing. I knew that the moment I would put a scripture up here, you'd stop carrying your Bibles. Point proven. I was going to ask everyone who has their Bible to raise it up to heaven. Show-offs. But you understand, there's a point behind that. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. The thing is that we allow things to take place of other things. We need to carry our Bibles in our cars. We need to have one at home. When you sit down for that morning coffee, open up and read a passage. Read God's word. Be devoted to truth. We live in a world of lies today. That should be a very heavy amen right now. We are living in a world of lies today. See, the truth will change you. Lies will misdirect you and cause you to expect false things that will lead you to nothing else but destruction and disillusion. But the truth of God will lead you to life. It will bless you. You'll be able to speak to your husband and speak words of life to your wife, speak words of life to your mom, to your children, to your friends in the church, to your encourage them. You see, it's awesome to be a counselor, but a counselor without words of life is meaningless. Because our words in themselves can't change anything, but the word of God will transform anything. So we need to be committed and devoted again to the truth. No, let us become like the Bereans that are mentioned in Acts 17 and 11. Look at these guys. Not that they were doubters, but they were interested in knowing that they were interested in, and it was important to them to know that what they heard in their ears was feeding their soul, and what was feeding their soul, they needed to make sure it was the truth. The Bible says in Acts 17 and 11, now the Bereans were more noble, noble character than the Thessalonians. For they received the message with great eagerness. They were hungry for the truth. But that wasn't enough to just receive the word with great hunger. It says immediately following, and examined the scriptures every day. Why? To see if what Paul said was true. I wonder how bad Paul felt. I bet you he wasn't offended at all. When they heard him speak, people were looking at him and then going, what verse was that? What verse did you say was that? No, there is no 67 books in the Bible. They were examining the truth. And it's so important for us, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us today in this world of lies, this world that is trying to deceive us in so many ways, that we begin to embrace the truth. Can you say amen? Amen. Thirdly, they were devoted to fellowship. I think this goes hand in hand with coming to church. But it also goes hand in hand with coming together as a family. You know, the first thing that COVID took from us was fellowship. You know, I was so happy. A week and a half ago or so, I saw my brother who lives about 3 miles away from me. I saw him again for the first time after a year. There are still brothers of mine that I haven't seen. I have not seen many of you, only on social media that I've been preaching to you over this past year. But it took our fellowship. And I don't know about you, but I'm a people person. Not that I like to be involved with a whole bunch of stuff, but I like to know, I like to see people, I like to feel people, I like to embrace people and just love on them and stuff like that. I was in a room next to my illness, obviously, but I was in a room looking out the window at a world where nobody passed by. I saw my wife, and occasionally I saw my children coming into the house because that was the only safety measure that we had, I guess. But we saw nobody else. And there are people today who are going crazy in their house and they've not seen their friends. You see, when you're alone like that, you become depressed. You become sad. You start listening to your mind. And depending on what the television is feeding you or whatever it is you're allowing to feed you, it will fill you with depression. By the time you know it, you become an angry individual or a sad individual, depressed. You know, people today, suicide today is at its greatest height as ever. And not only on adults, but children. They've taken the fellowship of our children in school. They're alone now. It's okay, you got two little kids, three little kids where they can play with each other. But what about the ones who have one child? And the parent has to work. That little kid is there with his telephone all day. No one to talk to. And then you wonder why he becomes so introverted, just locked in his room playing Nintendo just by himself. They were already like that at the beginning of this whole thing, and now more so, they have no friends, they have nothing. Close the schools, close the malls, close everything. You see, they even closed the church and we lost fellowship with each other. But these people were devoted to getting together. And I believe it's time for us to come back and get back on track and begin to fellowship with each other. Amen? I don't need permission from the government. I don't need permission from anybody to tell me I cannot invite people over to have a barbecue at my house. Who wants to come? Easy. Fellowship, it means a lot. The Bible says that we should encourage each other as we see the day approaching. We need to speak life into each other. Amen. These people were devoted together. You can find out their needs and help people out when you fellowship with them. The Bible says that because of this fellowship, the Bible says that there was no need amongst the people because they saw someone who had need and all of them would come together to provide for them. I hear testimonies now when I see people after a year and say, "How are you doing?" "It's been really rough, Pastor." "Why?" "I haven't been working for the past 8 months. We'd have trouble getting food." "Brother, why didn't you call?" "You know, we couldn't go out. We couldn't." They stole that from us. They stole that from us. And now we've kind of engraved that rule in our hearts. And now we don't even want a fellowship with the church. Let's get a fellowship going. Let's get together again. Let's come together. It's awesome to worship with people like you of like faith. We can make a lot of noise for Jesus here together. Amen. And know that we're celebrating the same party spirit of the Lord in this house. We are a whole family in this place. Amen. It's a place to get encouraged to be together. But these people were devoted to fellowship. They were also devoted to breaking bread. And then I begin to close today. This is another very important element in our walk. Now, this could mean a couple of things in Scripture, obviously. One is to the breaking of bread, that it's taking communion together, which is so important. We do that for our visitors. I just want you to know every first Sunday of the month we take communion. The whole church, we break bread. We take of the drink, we take of the bread. But it also means breaking bread, that is coming together to dine together, to be able to feed off of each other. Just hand in hand with fellowship. But now it's nutritional. It's caring for each other. It's seeing what our needs are. There's a lot of people with need in our society. We are so blessed, and it's a great time to shout out for From His Table Ministry here at Rock of Ages. We have a pantry here. And you know what's really astonishing and awesome? That it's run by all our young people here. We have Brother Jose Noyola, who we want to give the Lord a thanks for. Okay? He's a young man. And he's got a wonderful staff that are working with him. I see Sister and Brother Noyola out there praying and other people praying for people. We gave out, I think, a couple of hundred meals. Not meals, but boxes of food this past Saturday. And then I think the few days before, the week before, we gave it an additional 300-400 boxes more of need to people. I love that. This is us meeting the needs of those who have necessity. That's breaking bread. That's making sure you're being nutritioned, making sure you have water to drink, making sure you have a good meal to eat. And I'm thankful that Rock of Ages has that heart here embedded deep within us. And we are feeding people. That is the work of the Lord. Can you say amen? And that is the work of the early church as well. A church that feeds the hungry is one that takes after the heart of God. And so these people were devoted to breaking bread, to providing for others. These people were devoted also to prayer. And let me finish with this. You know what's changed big time with this whole COVID thing? Is our prayer lives. You see, we need to be encouraged to pray. Some of us don't even pray for our meals. Some of us seldom pray, if anything, on the run. "Oh, Lord, help me," and you're done. But we've not taken time to really bend our knees to pray anymore. You see, prayer is our communicating ladder between us and God. You would think that because we're alone in our homes because of this COVID time, all of us would probably be in prayer because we have nothing more but time to pray. But it's not that way. We probably use more time to worry. And somehow our devotion to prayer has slipped away under the rug. I'm calling the church out today. Let me tell you something. The only thing that is going to spare us and help us and strengthen us to make it till Jesus comes is going to be prayer. Prayer. If you don't pray, I promise you, you will not stay. You won't gain any power. You won't hear from God. You won't be able to hear instruction, comfort, direction. You won't be able to hear words that are going to uplift you until we begin to pray and begin to speak to God and say, Lord, speak to my heart. I need truth. I need encouragement. Things are falling apart. With all this time, there's a big guess of what's going to happen tomorrow in our country. There's a big argument going on amongst in this political world that we live in today. So much criticism, so many people putting each other down for whatever reason, regardless of whatever political party you stand on. So many people arguing about this. It's divided families. It's divided people from church. It's divided church members from pastors. It's divided moms and dads and children because of political parties and things like that. There's a great, what's going to help us survive this thing? Prayer. When we can do nothing else, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for everyone who's running this country. We cannot let them do it alone. Look at what a fine job they're doing alone. This all could be because the church is not praying for the White House. We're too busy arguing and insulting and degrading instead of saying, Father, I know that there's ignorance going on. I know that there's a failure here or whatever you might see is going on. But Father, I know that you can give any man direction. So I pray, Father, that you would touch everyone in the White House. Everyone here in our courthouse in Hidalgo. Everyone, every political individual who is running our city. Speak to them, God. Change their hearts. We're not involved in this for the argument. God has involved us in this because He knows we can pray. And when we pray and we've been heard, then God will begin to move. Don't let this whole thing change your prayer life. Let us begin to pray once again. I titled this message as I close, Getting Back on Track. I want you to look at the things that we've discussed very simply this morning. Are you still devoted? Are you devoted to come to church? Are you devoted in your stewardship? Are you devoted in your prayer life? Are you devoted to reading God's word? Are you devoted to looking for your brother and sister and encouraging them? Are you a devoted man or woman of God? Or have you lost that? Those of you on social media, are you home because of COVID or because you've lost your devotion to come to church? Those of you on social media, is it as easy for you to pray at home than to pray corporately together? You might be able to pray, but what a joy it is when we all pray together. What a joy it is. Your devotion, when nothing would stop you before, are you allowing something that is a has-been to keep you at home? No, let's be devoted once again. We do what we can and God will do the rest to protect us. You know, we've been open for close to 9 months now. And we've never had a single outbreak. Why? Because we've been careful and you've been careful. We disinfect our sanctuary before you got here. If you'll see these lights, I don't know if you from where you can see, you can actually see the stream of light. And if the house was absolutely clean in the air, those lights, you wouldn't see the stream. But the reason you see them is because there's a disinfecting fog in this house. And it's already settled. You can't smell it or breathe it. But we disinfect the sanctuary before you get here, and we disinfect it after you're gone. And all I can say is when we do our best, God will do the rest. Amen. When we do our best, God will do the rest. The mask mandate has been taken off, and you don't have to take it off. You can wear it or not. You can wear a helmet if you want. But that's okay. We still maintain our distance. Why? Because we want to be safe. We're not going to say, hey, man, all right. It's just get loose about this whole thing. No, you have to be careful. This thing was not a fake. This thing killed some people. And so we need to be careful. So I understand why some people in social media haven't come out. But let me tell you something. Let's not make this hill larger than it really is. God has given us the freedom to come back into the house of God. Can you say amen? And you're here today. Give the Lord a praise. God has given us the freedom to come back to the house of God. And when we come together, I promise you, when we come together, things begin to happen. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know where you're at in your heart, and I'm not up here judging you or anybody on social media in any way, fashion, shape, or form. But I simply want to share this message from you, where I believe comes from the heart of God, just to encourage you to look at your heart right now, where we're at after this year. What has changed about your walk with God? What has changed about your relationship with God? Now, I'm not saying, well, you've become immoral now. You're an ugly sinner. Now you're running rampant and whatever. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, has it changed those things that were important to you before all of this began? Can someone say to this morning, you know, Pastor, I used to pray a lot, and I don't pray hardly anymore. And Pastor, I'm kind of like that gentleman that saw you in the hallway. I always find other things to do than come to church. I never used to be that way. You know, I, quite honestly, I haven't seen my Bible in the past 6-7 months because I don't come to church. But I want to be devoted to reading God's Word again. You know, I haven't called or reached out to anybody in the church just to tell them I love them and to see how they're doing, just to keep the fellowship going. I haven't. I've been alone all this time, and I don't mess with anybody. You see, sometimes we change. Can you agree with me? We change. God wants us to come back and get on track. He wants the church thriving again. He wants to see you in the house of God again. He wants to see you in worship again, just the way you were. He wants all the noise in the house of God, just lifting up praises to His name. He wants you walking with that bounce in your walk once again, joyful because you know that God walks alongside you like a mighty warrior. He doesn't want us to be changed. He doesn't want us to be transformed by COVID. He wants us to be transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. How many agree with me this morning? We're going to pray this morning before we're dismissed, but I always like to end by giving somebody or anybody and everybody an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All it's been is religion to you. All it's been is a conversation in family. All it's been is coming to church on Easter Sunday and things like that. But it's never been an establishment of a relationship with you and God. You've always kind of been on the sidelines. Not that you're a bad person, not that you're an ugly person, but you just have never really entertained a true conversation with the Lord and say, Father, be Lord of my life. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel a tug in your heart that's saying, you know, I really need to start devoting myself to godly things. I need to start devoting myself to the Lord. I can't keep Him at the bottom of my priorities anymore. He's got to be the top because He's the only thing that's going to allow us to see a future and a good tomorrow. If there's anyone in this place that would say, I need Jesus, would you lift up your hand? I want to pray with you right where you're at. Anyone that would say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life today, I'm going to pray with you right where you're at. Anybody in this house that would say, I need Jesus. He's just been a story I've heard. He's been a Christmas item. He's been someone that we call out to when we're in trouble, when someone is sick or I lose my job. Oh, God, that's all he's been to me, but he's never been my Lord and Savior. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you just right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to move anywhere. Would you raise your hand where I can see you? I trust that if there are no hands in this sanctuary today, that all of us have a relationship with Christ, that all of us are saved. Should Jesus come today, this house will be empty because we will go with him. Is there that kind of surety in your heart today? Let us pray. Father, we love you and we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for this morning's baby dedication, Father. We pray a blessing over them and their families. We thank you for every visitor in this house today. Father, I pray that today, as we've spoken your word, that in their own hearts, as well as the rest of us together in this place, would look in our hearts, just a little introspection, Father, to look inside of us and say, have we changed? Are there things that I used to do that now somehow I've been conditioned not to do anymore? It's time for me to get back on track. It's time for me again to fall in line. It's time for me once again to begin to practice those things and do those things that God was pleased with. Time for me to come back to pray. Time for me to come back and devote myself to reading God's word. It's time for me to come and devote myself to coming to church on church days. It's time for me to devote myself to being a good steward. It's time for me. I'm not going to allow anything to change me anymore. It's keeping me captive. All these things that have happened have no power or authority over me. I've given my life to Christ. And I will dedicate myself and devote myself to living for him. So when the time comes, I can, like the psalmist, say, Lord, guide me and guard me, for I am devoted to you. This is the original position of the church. Let Rock of Ages become an identical replica, Father, of the people that you left in Jerusalem. Let us become the people that are known by everyone around as devoted to God. I thank you for your goodness. We love you and we praise your holy name today. Bless every family represented, every child. Bless us, Father. If there's someone with a need today, physically, they are sick in their bodies, Father, I would pray that you would extend your hand from heaven and touch their lives. There is no doubt that you're a God of miracles. We had Liam and Logan to testify that this morning. There is no doubt that you are a God of miracles. You can cure all things. We had a testimony of that this morning. Let us believe it for ourselves today. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. And everyone says,
thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.